Our scripture reading for this fourth Sunday in Advent is found in the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, reading verses 26 through 38. It's found in your pew Bibles on page 723, and in the large print versions, there is a misprint in the bulletin. It's page 1588, if you'd like to use the large print. I will be reading this morning from the New Revised Standard Version. Hear now the word of the Lord. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Amen. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And may God bless to our understanding this reading from God's unique, authoritative, and most holy word. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is an account, of course, between Mary and the angel Gabriel, the messenger of God whom God sent to give Mary this very, very special message of her role in salvation history. It's a little bit different from Matthew's version, we might note, where the unnamed angel of the Lord is sent to Joseph, not Mary, but Luke wants us to be sure to know that both parents were important. Gabriel, as an angel, first appears in the book of Daniel as a messenger of God who helps Daniel to understand his visions and the situation of Israel in the context of the larger unfolding drama of human history and governance and God's acts of deliverance. So as soon as we hear of Gabriel, we know that something very important is going to be taking place for all of God's people. His appearance to Mary is the second appearance in Luke's gospel. Just a little bit earlier in the chapter, he'd appeared to the elderly priest Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth, Mary's relative, that we hear about later in the story. Zechariah had been in the temple as he was supposed to be and as was told in the earlier part of Luke. And Gabriel begins by saying to Zechariah, "Do not be afraid." And then he goes on to tell Zechariah that he and Elizabeth will finally have a child in their old age. Do you remember that story? And he is to name that child John, and that child John, who we will know as John the Baptist, will have a tremendous ministry of preparing God's people and the people of Israel for the coming of the Lord. Zechariah, to put it mildly, expresses his doubts, and so Gabriel says, "Well, you're just going to be silent until these things take place." And as promised, Elizabeth conceives and John the Baptist is born. In our text this morning, Gabriel now, as one of the few who can stand in God's presence, but instead of bowing or falling down in reverence, this very important messenger, Gabriel, addresses young Mary saying, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." She's confused, she's wondering, rejoicing, I don't know, but one thing she isn't, she's not afraid. And one of the things that really struck me in this text, and I've known it for a long time, but and I'm sure most of you do as well, but it just kind of struck me how amazing this story is, that Mary at this particular point would have only been 12 to 14 years old. Very young person to be having all of this laid upon her. Do not be afraid, says Gabriel. You have found favor. God is honoring you. I don't know about you, but I would be scared to death at this point. And Mary apparently is not. It's amazing. You will conceive, now that's even more scary, and bear a son, and you must name him Jesus, is the meaning of the Greek behind the text. The Greek form of Joshua or Yeshua, meaning God saves, or in Hebrew, Yahweh. God saves. Well, how's that going to happen, she asks. A good question. Unlike Zechariah, who asked for proof, however, Mary asked about the method. How is this going to be? Maybe she's thinking, and I'm guessing that's probably the case, that Gabriel is talking about a son who's going to be born to her and Joseph. And yet, if he's born as Joseph's son, how could he be God's son? Gabriel points out God will cause her to conceive without the natural procedure. The Holy Spirit and the power of the Most High both refer to God's spiritual presence. And this Holy Spirit will come over you and overpower you, which are parallel terms for God's approach that we find elsewhere in Scripture. Now, I want you to note that Luke very carefully and intentionally picks words that don't have natural biological overtones. That is quite intentional. His account isn't like, and it contrasts with Greek and Roman stories in which God has natural relations with women, or the gods, I should say. Now, Jesus is holy, separate, set apart for a very important purpose. And Gabriel says, lest you doubt, here's the evidence. Your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, who has given up on ever being able to have a child, it has conceived, because nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible with God. There's no exclamation mark in the text with that. It's just the facts. Well, when we look at this text this morning, and as we come together before our Lord's table, I really think we need to focus our attention on these words and Mary's response. Here I am, or here am I. Mary says basically, okay. Behold, look at me, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me as you have said, and let's go. The angel and the messenger angel moved on to the next assignment. As this morning we come to this table, we come celebrating Christ's birth. We celebrate the birthday today, but we know it was many, many years ago, and we're also very aware of the rest of the story. We're aware of where Jesus is going to go from that manger in Bethlehem and his life's journey. And I'd just like to ask you this morning to meditate and think about as you come to the table, and as you go about your Christmas preparations and your celebrations and the rest of the day, to ask, where are you in your faith life journey? Are you like Mary, just starting out with your whole life ahead of you? Or are you like Elizabeth, older and most of your life behind you? Yet both of these women, young, old, everywhere in between, are pregnant, filled with possibilities for the future, filled with positive influence, filled with new life. And that's God's promise to us as we come to the table this day, to celebrate and to partake of these elements which remind us of Jesus' earthly body and of his lifeblood spilled out for us and given to us, that we might know fullness of life in his name, forgiveness from our sins, and to grow into the people that God has created us to be with all the possibilities that God has given to us. You know, in spite of the challenges that Mary and Elizabeth faced, in spite of the difficulties and the resistance of the world, they made their marks. They made God's marks on the world, and we are both their beneficiaries and their successors. called and given the opportunity to make this world a better place in the name of Jesus Christ, which to me is the best definition I know of the mission of the church and the mission of each of us as disciples. Making this world a better place in the name, after the pattern, according to the teaching of everything that Jesus was and did. So I ask you this day, as we come to the table, what marks are upon you and what marks are being called to lead you into the world and to make in the world in the name of Jesus Christ? What can you do to make this world a better place? And secondly, to ask, what challenges or obstacles do you need to overcome to be the most effective witness that you can be and to make a difference? And as we come to this table to celebrate his birth, as we partake of the elements representing his body and blood, his life for you, in the spirit of Mary and Elizabeth, in the spirit of Joseph and Zechariah, and that great cloud of witnesses who've gone before us so we can be here now, let us each come to this table with open minds and open hearts and open hands, saying, as Mary did, here am I. Let us pray. God of grace, your eternal word took flesh in my house, where Mary placed her life at the service of your will. As we come this day before you in worship, and especially as we come to this holy table, prepare our hearts for his coming again. Keep us steadfast in hope and faithful in service, that we may receive the coming of his kingdom anew. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, the ruler of all, who truly does live and reign with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And let all God's people say, Amen.